Welcome to another episode of the Broke Black Bougie podcast, where we have candid conversations about life, money, and wellness for young black women. Y'all already know it's Charlie. Y'all probably missed my voice because it's been a minute. My last conversation was centered on being young, black, and a home ownership, and many of you tuned in to say, like, this was very informative, great information, and some of y'all have changed y'all decision about whether or not you wanted to be a homeowner, so I think that's really cool. On today's podcast, we're going to be chopping it up. I hate it.
Yo.
With my good sis, Mecca. Those of you who have been tuning into the podcast earlier this season, Mecca was on in April, and we had a candid conversation about materialism versus being bougie, the differences, and just a real candid conversation about, like, the black community and how materialism plays a role in our society. Tonight, I'm laughing because Mecca over here got me laughing. We're having another candid conversation, resurfacing a topic that we've had here before, but we're making it more concrete. So instead of doing being broke and dating, we're going to take it the route of dating and finances on tonight's episode of the Broke Black Bougie podcast with the lovely, the one and only Mecca. How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm over here with my sis Charlie, sipping some Moscato.
Yes.
Just chilling a real calm Saturday night. I'm doing good. I'm happy to be back on the show.
I'm happy you're here.
Thank you.
It's been 6 months.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 6 months.
So, you know, the odd thing about it is, when we started in the pandemic, we didn't expect for it to be this long.
Yeah, sure.
And now that we're here, like, our lives have changed a lot in the past 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so I'm just very grateful that I get to share space with you and be in the same space with you, because it's been a while.
Facts. I was just like, hey, I ain't seen my sis. I don't even know. I think it was before 2020.
Yeah, no. February.
Okay, yeah.
We saw each other in person in February.
Oh, yes, Caucus weekend.
Yeah.
See, that was early in the year, though.
Right. So it's like a whole year done almost passed.
Yeah.
Are you happy about tonight?
Yeah, I'm real happy because this topic is something I feel like a lot of strong black women go through when it comes to dating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, you know, if you want to be courted, but you have a certain, like, alpha female personality, some guys may not get that.
Right.
So they may say, like, nah, maybe she'll be offended if I paid for everything, because she kind of could do for herself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I think it's a conversation that a lot of people will be able to relate to. So, yeah.
Especially in the pandemic, because, to be honest, this pandemic done brought out a lot of conversations about what it means to be dating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of people doing a dating, like, you know, online.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go anywhere. But then that means they can't really take you out.
Right.
If they're not comfortable going anywhere. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot.
Did you see the viral? Something went viral. It was the, in the beginning of the pandemic, this guy was dating a girl in New York City, and he would go see her, like, walking in a bubble or giving her roses or talking to her on, like, a rooftop or something. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
I don't know if it was
keeping up with everything. But I did see some pictures where the guy was doing it in the back of his trunk. I think he had, like, a whole movie night and, like, a dinner. He kind of just did it in the trunk of his car, and they watched movies on the laptop. Just real cute. And some people was just like, oh, my man don't got no excuses.
No excuses.
Out here doing all of this for her, and it's just them, you know.
The mostest.
Yeah.
All right, so with y'all today, sticking with us, we're about to be politicking with y'all on the politics, I guess, of dating and finances. Let's get into it. So entering and politicking today with the conversation on what it means to be dating and dealing with our finances, I thought it would be great to revisit an op-ed piece that was published by the New York Times in 2011. Although this is been quite some few years since this piece was published, I think the conversation is one that resurfaces within conversations amongst Black women. And so the title of the op-ed is Black, Female, and Single. And what the op-ed highlights is the myth that 70% of Black women don't marry. And unpacking that myth, when in reality, they say, according to 2009 data from the Census Bureau, 70.5% of Black women in the United States have never been married, but it is a specific age group, and those women are between the ages of 25 and 29. Black women marry later, but they do marry. By age 55 and above, those numbers showed only 13% of Black women have never been married. In fact, people who have never been married in their lifetimes are in the clear minority regardless of race. With attention on Black women, they identify the same statistics for Black men, citing that 73.1% of Black men between the ages of 25 and 29 have never been married, and that is actually higher than the numbers associated with Black women. Now, warranted, these are older statistics.
Right.
But these are statistics that we commonly hear now, because that 70% still rings in conversations that we have with other people. Well, you know, Black women are 70%. You know? So yeah, give me your take on defining the percentage of Black women who are married. Mm-hmm. What factors may exist? Okay. And how you feel that has changed in 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. I mean, I feel like you can't say 2020 without mentioning the pandemic. The right. Pandemic's been a whole year.
they kind of just go together.
Right.
I would say, I think Black woman, I could say as a Black woman, for mm-hmm. me, I think part of the reason why we don't like to put an age on when we will marry, mm-hmm. I think it's because Black women are usually known to do a lot more. And when I say that, I mean that, you know, statistically, we always say, like, we fight double oppression. So we always say we fight both being a woman, or first, being Black, and then second, being a woman. And I think because we fight those so hard, we want to be in a certain space or be the best version of ourselves before we marry someone else. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of the reason why between the ages of 25 to 29, we kind of use that time to like do career development, mm-hmm. Rebuild ourselves, do soul searching, travel and just be all about our friends, be selfish in a way.
Right.
And I think it's because usually if you were raised by a Black strong woman, depending on the dynamics of your family, you might take over this, you might adapt this caring or caregiver type of personality, because that's what you grew up seeing. So I feel like in 25 and 20, from those ages of your 20s, whether it's 25 through 29, it's kind of like our prime.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying, I mean, Black women, we really don't go out of style, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying, like, that's usually our, like, prime years, where we're molding, we're shaping, we're growing, we are letting go a lot of the dead weight. We're more so really evolving. Mm-hmm. We usually have accomplished our educational goals at that time, yeah. or our business goals, or whatever it is. We're usually really functioning at that time, in that time period. So I think that's why we put dating off, or marrying off. Like, we'll say, like, oh, we'll always have time for that. Men ain't going nowhere. Like, we'll say things like that because we're like, let's focus on getting ourselves in a position to be a wife, to be a mother one day, to be a partner. But I can't be a better partner without being a stronger individual.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it is like that. But I think the COVID-19, I feel like it's definitely showed, like, yeah, I'm a hustler, but I'm only two. So it's like, I kind of don't want to force myself just to be single until I have things all together before I start dating somebody that's of quality. Like, yes. I kind of want to learn how to do both, because who's to say somebody's going to come around when I turn 30?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of unfair to do that and be like, oh, because I'm developing, I just want you to wait there for me. You know, and if he does, that's great. But usually that, you know, that's just unfair, I think. Just being more open to that and thinking it through, like, okay, if I'm in a place I'm not complete, it's never going to really be the right time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This life, not everything's going to be perfect. So I feel like if the person's worth it, you should take that leap of faith.
Mm-hmm. I like that you said that, and especially focusing on, like, what we as Black women go through within these age groups in comparison to other counterparts. We may see that people are further advanced in their careers.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
People come out of college, for instance, if they went the higher education route, and they're making well more than being a Black woman in that same industry.
Absolutely.
Making money. And so them being able to reach their financial goals and get there quicker, mm-hmm. them being able to put their attention and time, like the bandwidth that they have, yeah. is so much different when we're out here building and really getting it out of the mud, simply because, like, we're Black, we're women,
yeah.
you know,
absolutely.
Hell, if we want to throw colorism in there, you know, we're Black, we're women, we're dark skinned,
yeah.
you know, and those are all different factors that contribute to how people perceive our Blackness and the way that it shows up into certain spaces,
mm-hmm.
and what we simply have access to.
That's true.
And I feel like within the dating space, it's the same thing. Like, at this age, 25 to 29, we're literally building, you know, we don't have everything that it is that we desire, you know. And so sometimes your focus is not on building a relationship. And I remember when I was an undergrad and I would have conversations with my best friend, a lot of our conversations centered on, like, why are we in college and we ain't met our husbands yet? And I remember talking to one of my homeboys, and he was like, this is not the time, like, you're not in these times.
Yeah.
Now. And I'm like, because high school was a fraud, grade school was a fraud, and they told me that I would see him in college.
And that's the issue. It's like, everywhere that, it's almost like your family tells you this,
mm-hmm.
for you to continue to push forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go to college, and they say, girl, you're going to meet your husband in college. You know what I'm saying? You go to college, he's not there. Girl, you gonna meet your baby, you start that big time job.
Right.
Then you start the big time job, and mm-hmm. he didn't pop up yet, and you've been there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, well, damn, when am I gonna find him? It's like no one is really telling you the realities of how hard it is for a Black successful woman
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying he gonna be here.
Where he at,
and
though?
You level up. And he not there.
Right.
And then you continue to level up and he not there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a situation where some people feel like, I just really want to be loved. You know what I'm saying? And then they start dating people that they know that they shouldn't be with.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whole cycle thing. But I feel like people just don't want to, you know, when you're young, your parents and your family don't necessarily want to tell you that if you struggle with this area of your life, there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
It's just more so dating somebody that's really secure in themselves,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. I think that's what it is. Because I'm like you said, every phase of your life, they'll say, hey, gonna be there. He gonna be there.
Mm-hmm.
You get there and you arrive and you work hard the step before to get to that new place, and he's still not there.
Right.
And it's like no explanation. And then like, don't worry about it. Then it goes, don't worry about it. Just let it find you. But y'all say he was gonna be at the promotion though.
Right. Like, it's like we're groomed almost.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
To be in this way. Like,
yep.
When boys are growing up, they're in a space where they get to play with their toys. They get to be as immature as possible throughout,
yep.
like, their adolescent years. And even when they become, like, in their 20s, they're encouraged to explore. They're encouraged
yep.
to date the field. They're encouraged to just be out here. And women, mm-hmm. you know, we're so groomed in many ways because society is full of shit. Like, oh, you need to be a good cook. Oh, you need to be somebody who knows how to take care of house things. Oh, you need to make sure you're able to prioritize X, Y, and Z and hold down the household. Like, very traditionalist views. And when we go out into the world, you know, a lot of us are looking at, oh, when is this time? Oh, so this means that by the time I reach this age, I'm going to be married. I'm going to have this. Like, I literally thought by the age of 21 or in my 20s, I would be married.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was going to marry my high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And if anybody would have woke me up out of that, I feel like that would have saved me a lot of time in itself. You know, it's just like, how do it's really, I don't know. I feel like we'll understand more when we have children. Because I feel like, how do you stop your child from dreaming? But you don't want to stop your kid from dreaming, but you also don't want them to live in this little reality.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought me and my best friend, Janelle, was going to be living in this big mansion with our dog. And she was going to walk. Girl, we had the seasons. Who going to walk the dog in the winter? And you know what I'm saying? A part of it is an innocent child, and you're just dreaming. So you don't want your parents. And as an adult, you look back and you're like, why y'all didn't tell me that it wasn't going to be that way? Why y'all didn't? But it's like, as children, you know, you want your child to dream.
Right.
Especially because we live in a society where black children can't be children. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're seen as threats. And it's just like, you want to preserve that innocence. You know what I'm saying? But I do agree with, girls are pretty much groomed to be, you know, they buy you the easy bake oven.
That was my oven, though.
I loved it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they do. There's certain things they do. When the boys get the cars and he get the Legos, it really doesn't, I don't see how that helps them be men.
No.
You know?
Building. Us,
yeah.
But you can't fix a sink. But, you know, like,
like, it's, you know what I'm saying? So, it's stuff like that. Absolutely, be a groomed. I do agree with that.
You know what? Media also grooms us too, like the things that we watch and internalize, because like I wrote something about this in 2017 and it made it on Blavity, but
okay,
it was literally about how like these black romance films, these rom-coms, skewed my view about what it means to love, right? Because you get told at a certain step you would be, oh my God, head over heels and in love. And then you watch these shows that show you, you're going to be like a Q and a Monica. What's her name, Monica? And darn it. And Love and Basketball.
Her name was Monica.
Yeah, you're going to be like Q and Monica in Love and Basketball. But Q was really tragic. And here you are fantasizing of when you're going to meet your Q. But he may not be a really solid man for you. And then you're looking at the wood and you're like, oh my God, this is a beautiful coming age story about how they both gain a sexual experience and like grow up and old together. But you get older and you be like, yo, some of these storylines are really trash.
Yeah, they are.
And they really do skew your expectations because you expect for things to be like how it is in movies. Especially if you were somebody who grew up like me, sheltered. And girl, you thinking your first date going to be in 2050. I'm serious.
Yo, if only y'all could see the look that I just gave up. Like, sis, ain't no way you was thinking of it. Honestly, I'm telling y'all, that my first date was at the age of 25, where a man paid for me. You know what I'm saying? Didn't have to be, like, all awkward and, like, so what we gonna do type thing. Like, was like, nah, I got it. I've never been courted. And I'm a rom-com girl. So I love watching romance movies. And I always thought that, you're right, I always thought that I would have a man do those things for me. Until I grew up and I saw like, seems like alpha females don't get that type of treatment. You know what I'm saying? And it was really a rude awakening for me. So you're absolutely right about media grooming how you see yourself. And grooming what you expect when you date people. I think it's very true. So I agree with that.
You know, another thing that I look at is the way that money shows up in relationships.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the first time I recognized the importance of finances was looking at how finances operated within the examples of couples that we had in our family.
Okay.
So, like, there was, like, my uncle and my aunt. They were the college-educated ones. Mm-hmm. But we weren't really blood. They were just really close friends to, like, long-time friends of the family. Mm-hmm. And there was stability in their household, but there was also little snippets of living beyond means, you know, that eventually led to them no longer being together.
Okay.
And then there was examples of my parents who were not keeping up with the Joneses, was poor as hell. And the conversations that always exist was stress because one parent saw money in this way and the other parent saw money in this way.
Yeah.
And I always felt like money, especially within my family, was a source of contention, whether it be you not having enough of it, or you wanting more of it, or you trying to figure out how to gain stability. And most of the arguments you hear around your elders is, well, we ain't got no damn money.
Yo, Lord Jesus.
But you want to be doing this, and you ain't got no job, you know?
No.
Or it becomes like
that's
literally
traumatizing, for real.
It's traumatizing. And mm-hmm. So as I gotten older, one of the things that I really wanted for myself was stability. Like, yeah. I don't want to have these broke ass conversations in my future relationship. Mm-hmm. And I recognize how draining it is.
Absolutely.
To try to be in a relationship with somebody and your finances are not where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question to you, Mecca, is when is the first time you realized, like, the importance of finances within relationships?
Are you talking about dating relationships or just in general?
In general.
Okay, so I would say I really realized the importance of finances and relationships when my friends from college
mm-hmm.
were trying to take care of me, in a sense, or make sure that I was good. I would say that. Like I said, because of where I come from and stuff like that, like, growing up in a family where my mom was a single mom,
mm-hmm.
I've always, like, done things for myself to make sure that I was okay. So, like, for instance, like, to pay for my books for freshman year, I didn't know how expensive college books were gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
So, for my summer youth check, I saved all my checks, and I ended up paying for my books for the semester. And I think it was my second year, because I worked at the library first year. I worked at the library for all 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became an RA to get extra money. So I remember I didn't get paid yet, and I was so broke, you know, I couldn't even afford a 4 for $4. So my best friend and my sis, Chrissy, they basically, you know, they bought me food, like, that whole weekend and stuff till I got paid, because you got paid bi-weekly. And for me, that was very hard, because it was like, I just met them, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want them to think that I'm just, like, taking advantage or, you know, things of that sort. Like, I didn't want that.
Right.
So I started to realize that, you know, people can be giving to me just like I'm giving to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it come in the back of my own full circle. And that was when I first started to realize, like, if people really do care about you, they're not going to watch you struggle if they're in a position to help you. Like, let people be good to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I first really realized it. Because I was just so used to pouring into other people. And then I was in this predicament where people weren't pouring back. So with them, it was like, nah, we got you. Don't worry. And it was multiple times where they paid for me because I didn't have any more money. And I would say that was very eye-opening for me moving forward. Like, it's still hard for me to take from my friends. Or, like, the time, too, where I wasn't, I didn't have it that time either, and you took me to dinner, and you paid for my Uber and stuff to get home. So, like, stuff like that, I just feel like you just go through different seasons of your life, and it's like you may have it one day, and that's why I always say, like, thank God for everything, because right. you can have it one day and not have it the next. And that was a situation where it was the end of the semester. So, yeah, I had a job and everything, but it wasn't enough to pay and cover my bills. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, like, just to have a friend like you, where you were like, nah, you could, I want you to come to dinner or whatever, because we haven't seen each other in a while, right. you know? So even that, so stuff like that, I would say when people really want to see you and they care about you for you and they know you're a person that's not using them, people will really show up for you, even if that means financially.
Of course.
So, yeah, that's what I would say. I think that was my first. For me, it's honestly like rock bottom situations that made me realize, like, this is the role that finances could play in a relationship. You know, it doesn't always have to be just your birthday where mm-hmm. everybody, I think, then those things to me are just extras. When people, like, you know, for your birthday, you say, okay, the birthday girl's not paying, or like, those are just like extra things. And those were hard for me to take at first as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but I think those are extras. But really, I would say you see the role of finances when you're at rock bottom.
Yeah.
And people just, they want to genuinely help you, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes you don't ask, but they just want to be good to you. So that's what I would say.
I think that's real deep, you know, because I've recognized that too, mm-hmm. you know, like when you're at your worst sometimes
yeah.
and the help that people receive mm-hmm. or the help that, you know, I call them little earth angels that I had like a mentor or a friend do. It goes a long way, but you recognize how important, like, stability is and
Absolutely.
Being able to lean on people. And I think when you're in a romantic relationship, sometimes that can shift dynamics.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right? Because there are power trips that happen, mm-hmm. Insecurities that occur.
Yeah.
There can be frustrations in terms of, like, communicating
yeah.
your needs.
Yeah, and I also think it goes into why you're dating someone.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think it's...
More why.
I think it also goes into why you're dating somebody. If you're dating somebody for, like, longevity and, like, you know, husband and wife and things of that sort, I think it's important that you guys know how to rely on each other. I think it's important for them to know that, because y'all can both enter a marriage and everything be 100%. Like, you're good, I'm good.
Right.
And then something happens. You know what I'm saying? And if you're with somebody that's like, no, you promised me you was going to take care of everything and I wasn't going to have to lift a finger, but life happens and he's down and out or she's down and out. It's just like, you want that. You want that partner that could say, you know what, I'm not going to get my nails and toes done every month because I'm going to sacrifice that because we need groceries.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you want people that know how to make those sacrifices, because I don't know about y'all, but going to the nail salon and toe salon, like, depending on where you go to get your nails and toes done, it could run you $100.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's like a spa thing. And for you to say that, you can get groceries. You know what I'm saying? Like, all those things are luxury. But the point that I'm making is, you want somebody in your life that's going to be a life, if that's a life partner for you, you want them to be able to put themselves on the back burner if something needs to get done
mm-hmm.
in the house, you mm-hmm. know? So I think when you're dating people, it's so important to, like, know where it's going. And personally, that's what I'm struggling with. I'm trying to figure that out. Like, as I'm dating and getting to know people,
mm-hmm.
I really want to know, where is it going? Because I cannot be making sacrifices for people if you're just seeing me as a hookup,
mm-hmm.
or you're just seeing me as somebody to just waste time
mm-hmm.
or get your feet wet. Like, I need to know. So, because I know the type of person I am. I know that I'm giving. I know that I would sacrifice if need be. So it's very important to make sure you're on the same page with the person.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes about that in their different ways. I'm the type of fallback person, and you kind of step up or catch up type
right.
thing. But I think it's just important, like, to know what's up, because before you start making financial decisions based on somebody, before you start doing big birthday gifts, mm-hmm. and all of this stuff, if y'all are not really together, mm-hmm. save your coins.
Right.
Because I could be using that money somewhere else. I could be doing a savings for myself. I'm gonna have to be investing financially mm-hmm. in this thing if we're not trying to be together long term. So I think know where you're going with people. And friends, too. Know where you stand with those friends. Like,
girl, what?
Know where you stand with friends, too, and family members. Like, just know where you stand with people. Because I feel like if you don't, it could be very dangerous. I would say that. And just create healthy boundaries. Like, yeah, I may love you, but don't allow people to just keep taking from you either. Because that sets back your financial goals.
Oh, a word. Like, if you're in a space where you never learned those boundaries.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's hard as hell to set them up absolutely. As an adult.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you will make the mistake.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like.
Absolutely.
Like, you will definitely.
I'm saying things that I'm still working through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm saying it because this is what I do all the time.
Right.
Absolutely not. I'm saying it because that's things I'm working through. Like, not having people take advantage. You know, I'm working on all of that stuff because people will. As long as you let them, they will. Mm-hmm. So boundaries are hard. It's hard for me to set. It's hard for people to respect. Mm-hmm. I'm not speaking of a place that this is what everybody should be doing, but I'm including myself in there, everybody.
Of course.
It's definitely easier said than done, especially when you're a very loyal person. So.
And what you see oftentimes can determine on how you move. In your adulthood. Like, if you are a child and you saw people being taken advantage of or money the center of issues, as you get older, you're either going to do what you can to avoid those traps or fall into those traps. Yep. And I think one of my biggest things, definitely with dating, with my personal life, is finances have become extremely important. Mm-hmm. Because they can determine your future. They can determine the life that you desire to live. The type of lifestyle you have.
Yeah.
And the people that you definitely interact with. So I thank you for sharing that. The second part of this conversation is going to go into a little bit more in depth into our experiences. Introducing an article about how dating has changed. In comparison to millennials and baby boomers, and us having some real candid questions for each other about the timing to date, a little bit more in depth about our finances and priorities, especially given the new social media climate that we're in. In September of this year, Redbook published an article titled 12 Ways Millennials and Baby Boomers Date Differently. They say that some generational differences may surprise you, but they overview many different ways, from social media to closure to milestones to vacations and monogamy, perspectives surrounding what it means to be dating and how dating over time has changed. I guess my first question is, how do we define when is the right time to date? And how has dating changed with the times?
To me, I would say the right time to date, honestly, is after you've done the work on yourself. That's what I think. I feel like nobody's going to be perfect, you feel me? But I feel like, because I could even date somebody that's working on themselves, so I don't want to make it seem like you got to do all the work and then meet somebody. I just think it's ideal to do that, but it may not always be realistic. So I feel like as long as you get yourself in a place where you're emotionally available, then you should be able to date, right? But, you know, everybody's definition of dating is different, too. Like, I feel like back then, it's like they called it courting. Because they were courting and taking this woman out and, you know, for a purpose. Like, the purpose was to come home eventually and make this person their wife, or to bring that woman home and say, this is my serious girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, back then, you couldn't just bring any and everybody home. It was more so the woman that met your mom and your dad was a woman that you were very serious about. Like, it wasn't no hookup or stuff like that. So I think those are still the same. I don't think a lot of men, depending on who their moms are, mm-hmm. are going to bring any and everybody to see them. Because some mothers, they support their sons regardless.
They be dragging it even when he's a fuckboy.
Yeah, they just be like, well, that's still my baby. You know what I'm saying? So some mothers, they not, you know what I'm saying? But my mom was never that type of mom. She used to tell my brother all the time, like, don't bring them. You're not going to have different girls in my house. Like, and I'm not lying for you and all that stuff. So, but some people are not like that. But anyway, I just think that it's, I think, you know, the courting and stuff, some people say consider that old school now. They'd be like, oh, you know, you're old school. Because if you want a man to do all that, you know, most men are not doing that anymore. And blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a thing in the past. So I feel like that's one of the main differences. And yeah, I think social media, of course, is another main difference. You know, if you don't throw me up on MCM or WCW, people be like, so are we serious or not? Like, you know what I'm saying? Some people, they start off with the leg. They just show your leg. Or, you know, or it'd be somebody behind them with a full bib, but you don't see their face. Right. Like, throwing emojis over the face. Like, I just feel like it's a lot of pressure. For real. I feel like it's a lot of pressure. Like, you gotta show your man. And if you don't show your man or your woman, it's like, well, you don't take them seriously. But I just think as millennials, we struggle to, like, maintain privacy and still kind of show off to the world, like, this is my person, I love them kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very it's a struggle thing. But personally, I deleted my Instagram. I'm like, nobody's going to, I don't have no time for no man to be like, so you put me up on MCM or what? Like, I don't even have Instagram, boo. Like, right. I'm not, I don't know. I just feel like it's, again, I'm not even going to just make it about insecurities, because I feel like that could be somebody's love language. You know, they kind of want to be out in public. Mm-hmm. That could be their love language. I'm not going to say, like, oh, they're not secure and stuff like that. For some people, yes. But I don't think it's fair to say that for all. Maybe that person's been in a relationship where people hid them. You know, so maybe that's something that they want to avoid happening again. Mm-hmm. You know? So everybody has a story. But I think I think we have a lot of pressure from social media. You know, a lot of people see their men, they be like, oh, he bought her a Birkin. You gonna buy me a Birkin. Like,
right.
He bought her that ring, you know.
Stick within your price range.
Yeah. It's like, you know what I'm saying? But people be like, her man buying her this. So it's just a lot of comparison on social media. And also it's like a lot of pressure, I would say. Like, even the fact that they got WCW, MCMs, like, it's just a lot of pressure to show your person off. And it does great if the couple was into that. But I don't know. For me, I'm a very private person. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if I put you up there, it's because I want to put you up there. I don't really want to be in a relationship where a guy's like, all right, so you ain't throw me up, so I guess we really not official. So I don't know. What about you, though? Do you think social media is... I mean, I'm asking you in particular, too, because I feel like that's a part of your life. That's a part of your career and your brand, too. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you use social media a lot. So, how do you handle that in relationships? Like, is it just a business thing for you? Or, like, do you do both?
It's funny because I'm itching to get this out. I feel like when somebody asks you, why you not posting me as your man crush Mondays, it's because if you the man crush Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, facts. Friday, Saturday, you shouldn't have to worry about that.
No, that's a fact.
You know?
That's a fact.
And I feel like, for me, like, social media it's a platform that is very businessy. And in the beginning, like, when I first did Broke Black Bougie, mm-hmm. I was writing relationship pieces.
Oh, really?
And pieces that would move was my, like, pieces on relationships.
Oh, okay.
And how I was sick and tired of these niggas, sick of these niggas. You know? And I would write short stories titled, like, Hey Lover, about my experience of how I would perceive to be a woman in a relationship and what I was looking for.
Oh, okay.
actually being in a relationship, let me get my age right. 23, 24. Okay, yes. Actually being in my first serious relationship at the age of 23, for me, social media, like, nobody needed to know.
Facts.
I was happy and bliss. Okay?
Period.
Y'all didn't need to know when this man was cooking for me. Heard y'all didn't need to know when we was going on dates. Y'all didn't need to know that I was out here. You know, nice. A lot of people made certain assumptions because at a moment in time, I used to be a person who was always on social media. You always see a snap from me, a daily snap, a post on Instagram, mm-hmm. and I just stopped doing those things. But it's not because I was in a relationship. It was right. because my attention span and my maturity levels and things that I was focusing on wasn't centered around social media anymore.
I feel that.
And I felt like with my partner, he understood that. Like, he didn't care to be on social media. His social media had, like, one picture, you know?
Nice.
Like, he wasn't focused on those things. And so I feel like when you are in a genuine relationship and you two care to just be in each other's space and share those moments with the world, okay, great. But privacy, if that's something that's important to y'all, let that be.
Right.
Let it be. On the flip side of this, what I will say is social media can be very challenging. Because before I was in a relationship and I was dating, mm-hmm. like when I would meet a guy or when I was on Tinder, the first thing people want to really exchange is like your social media. And they go mm-hmm. and they view you and they like pictures. Some of the pictures may be the most scandalous pictures you probably got on your page, exactly. you know? So you can kind of pinpoint
that's true.
Where they head is at.
Yeah, that's a fact.
You know? And so, like, for me, some people almost use their social media as, like, a resume mm-hmm. for how good they appear to be or, like,
yeah, that's true.
Their worthiness of being in a relationship. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest. If I feel like your shirt is off on every damn picture, you know, you a thirst trapper like yeah. a motherfucker, you know, you got mad people sending you hearts and shit like that. Like, there's love.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah.
But you can tell whether or not
you
somebody
can tell
in
when
a
dude
space.
Is really into himself. Too.
Right? Like,
that's no.
Yeah, your little ego.
Yeah. No, that's a fact. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you can tell. That's true.
There are just certain things that yeah, just absolutely. Don't really add up.
Yeah.
And I think social media contributes to that. But I do believe that if you're a person who is secure within themselves mm-hmm. and your partner is also secure within themselves, not everything has to be shared. Everything can be created within a balance. And
right.
you don't have to lean on those things.
I feel like sometimes social media can keep you out of touch
yes.
with things in life or people that really matter. I feel like for me, I gotta really like a dude to bring you around mm-hmm. my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I consider my friends like family.
Yeah.
So I'm not down for that embarrassment. I'm not down for anything like that. If I share that space with you,
mm-hmm.
that means I take you very seriously. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like sometimes with social media, it could just be very, like, instant. It's like you kind of post something, they might not think too much of it. But I feel like nothing beats those meetups in person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing beats that. To me, like, yes, you take pictures because you want to create memories. My friends tell me that all the time. But it's just, like, I don't have to post them, though. I don't know. I feel like social media has its place, but my whole relationship cannot be posted on social media.
No.
Because when y'all break up, I'm not saying everybody breaks up, but when people break up, sometimes then they want to take you off. It just gives too much insight of
mm-hmm.
everything that's going on. If I never posted you in the first place, nobody knows what's going on. It's nothing to delete. It's nothing to remove. That's the quickest way people find out if people are having a rift or a problem in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They know somebody break up, somebody's posting something questionable, they go to the page, all the pictures is deleted. Then they're like, oh yeah, they broke up.
Mm-hmm.
It's that easy. You know what I'm saying? And it really makes it hard to just be private.
You know what I want to add on to that? is the privacy component that you said is very important. And for people who are in marriages and they've been, they've created brands on social media.
Yeah.
People look at them as like the picture perfect couple, nothing can go wrong.
Yeah.
And the first time a couple may say, we've experienced infidelity in our marriage.
Yep.
Through the guy or transgressions through the woman. Mm-hmm. Now everybody is just like, you're not who I thought you were. Yeah. We used to worship your pictures. And I'm like, how can somebody taking badass pictures determine whether or not they are in the healthiest of healthiest relationships? Absolutely. Please tell me.
Absolutely.
We look too much into other people's lives or what appears to be picture perfect just because, oh, they may show up like they have everything going on.
And I think the issue, I think with that, what more so goes into that, in my opinion, is people are looking at what looks like happiness and they want that. You know what I'm saying? So whether that's a relationship, whether that's somebody that got new clothes, whether that's somebody that's always in the latest, or people are really searching for happiness. You know what I'm saying? So if they see somebody and they found joy in that person or that couple, they'll say like, well, y'all give me so much hope.
Right.
Or y'all give me so much this. It makes me look forward to the day when I meet my Boaz, or to the day when I meet my DeVell, or when I, you know what I'm saying? I love Kadeen and DeVell. So I had to throw that in there. I love them. Like, Kadeen is on the islands. I have a Caribbean background. Her man is American. My sort of kind of man, maybe, is American, too. So, I'm here for Kadeen and DeVell. But anyways, the point I'm saying is, like, you know, it gives you hope. Especially if you're one of those people who, like me and Charlie, who want black love. You know what I'm saying? We do look up to couples like that. But I just think, in anything, it's always levels of extremes. Like you said, there's the people that jump on a post and be like, oh my God, how could you do that to her? She, you know, she had all your kids and this, you know, they get...
I'm really mad you, because I didn't even bring their names up, those who I was talking about.
Yeah. I love Kadeen and DeVell. But you know what I'm saying? But he be doing the most sometimes with stuff. And then like, she'd be like, all right, whatever, DeVell. Like, you feel me?
Right.
But the point that I'm making is like, you don't really know them. I feel like social media allows people to like set these high expectations.
Right.
And it's like, if you don't take a break from it, you'll start to become obsessed with people you don't even know them. Like, I love them, but I don't know them personally. I don't know their whole story about their marriage. I don't know everything they've been through. They've been together since their 20s. I don't know all of that information. But people will judge you off your pictures. And they're a dope couple. Like, nobody could deny it. You know what I'm saying? But it's ups and downs. And it's like, when it's a celebrity, people be like, oh, it can't be that much ups and downs. But I don't know. That's just me. But I would say, just social media, just, it's a good, it has its place. But don't be obsessed with it, I would say. That's just my take on it. And don't post everything. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about, sis. How do you feel when, like, you going through something? Because I've done it. I've gone through something, and I'll see a post, and I'll repost it. Like, if I'm in a relationship, and I'll be like, oh, he's just got to be mad typed, and I'll post something like, say a post to be like, yeah, because this nigga ain't acting right. And I'll post it and be like, facts.
Right.
You know, so how do you feel about that, too? Like, reposting situations, and it kind of could, like, foreshadow or hint at the fact that y'all going through something.
People love to play the game, like, just because I post, I just be posting
shit.
Yeah, they do. And I be like, y'all asses, no, y'all lying. Yeah, like, exactly. Y'all really be going through shit and posting what you feel.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're human, and that's, like, I get it, right? Because for some people, they may not have a person that they can talk to. They may not be in therapy.
Exactly.
They may find ranting, you know, a form of therapy for themselves.
Exactly.
Even if it's not healthy. But what I will say is, everybody don't gotta be in your business. Like, I shouldn't know by the time of day you're posting, the colors you're wearing, and the mood, you know, just like the tone of your writing.
Yeah, I understand.
That you're going through something. And I think, like, damn it, if we were really people who operated by just ranting on Facebook, or I'll say Facebook and Twitter, because they the right in social medias all day, damn it, like, yeah. At this point, people would think my life is a wreck because every day I post this shit.
Absolutely.
You know, I think aside from relationships as a whole, people put too much out on social media.
I agree with that.
And so even within relationships, there's no sense of boundaries. Like, you telling the world or posting pictures that you just got into a fight with a woman over X, Y, and Z, and this man posting about this, that, and the third, he just got into a fight with a man because he felt like, you know, like, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, too, some things not only need to remain on social media, but like you spoke about, you just mentioned how people don't have friends or stuff to rant to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that in itself, too, it's like certain things need to just stay between you and the person you're with.
Yes.
Certain things just need, especially finances.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like now I'm at a place where if my man didn't have a job, right, I'm not going to tell all my friends that my man don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because what is that doing for him? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to break him down in that sense. You feel what I'm saying? Now, if I'm feeling an overload of stress and stuff like that, I may call one of my best friends. Why? Because I know that they're not going to judge him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know that my best friends are not going to kick him while he's down. You feel me? Mm-hmm. But I'm not interested in telling my entire friend group. I'm not interested in telling my whole family, oh, we ain't got it right now. Things ain't how it's supposed to be. Because that's not right. Because I feel like not only is it demeaning, and people already feel some kind of way when they're not working.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was unemployed for 5 months during the pandemic.
Right.
I already felt like I wasn't worthy. I already felt all of these things. And that was by myself as a single woman.
Right.
So it's like, you're not going to want to get in a relationship and then somebody's telling all of your financial circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like an invasion of privacy. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to talk. And then there's also this thing, too, even when you're in a relationship, and even if your finances are great when you're mm-hmm. in a relationship, you don't want everybody to know what you have. Because if you tell everybody what you have, people think they can come and just take from
mm-hmm.
you. Because they're like, oh, she's saving. I know she's working on her financial goals.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just come and just take it from you. So I feel like it's at either part of the coin. Like, if you're good financially and you're not good financially, it's still not a lot of information you should volunteer out. Because at the end of the day, you doing that, it just creates the space for people to abuse it
yeah.
or judge you.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, it all comes down to like boundary setting.
There's such a lot of shame surrounding finances.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the judging is very real, which makes me like segue into the question that I have for you. So, Ebony, shout out to Ebony, in 2017, they made a post called "Dear Broke Men, Don't Punish a Woman for Not Wanting to Date You." Basically, the author sums this up by saying, women are not obligated to date a man who is struggling. We prefer someone who is more financially stable. That does not mean we are heartless, gold digging, and superficial. It simply means that maybe your paycheck isn't the issue, but your character and confidence is. A woman isn't always disinterested in you because of your pay grade. Sometimes she just isn't interested. And instead of finding reasons to discount yourself or calling her greedy, fake, or selfish, maybe you should remember that she doesn't owe you an explanation.
Mm.
How do you feel about being broken dating?
I'm laughing because like me and my best friend talk about this all the time. I feel like, please don't judge me, y'all, the audience, because I'm not a judgmental person. Please. I can't date no man that's broke, and let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I do not feel like you should be pursuing people if you are not comfortable, if you're not in a space where you're financially...
She's shaking, y'all.
Yeah, I'm tight. Because it's like, I personally don't think you should be pursuing people if you are not in a place where you are financially... I'm not even going to say stable, mm-hmm. because we're all still growing.
Mm-hmm.
Financially comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not comfortable with your finances, you should not be pursuing anybody. Why? Because if you want to call me old school, I want to be courted. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to court me if you're not in a place where you're financially comfortable. Mm. And the reason why I'm saying comfortable is, if you have a job and that's just not your dream job, you can still take me out because you still have money coming in.
Right.
But if you're not comfortable in your finances at all, that's why I'd be like, you're not working. Mm-hmm. And you're not comfortable ditching out that extra money right now. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking nobody to go into more debt for me.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think that you should be actively dating anybody if you're not in that place. But I think it's different if I'm with you or I'm dating you and you happen to lose your job and then you end up being broke. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that because that's something that's out of your control.
Right.
But I think even if I met you and you don't have a job right now, I don't think that we should be trying. I think we could be friends, but I don't think that we should be trying to date each other because there's no courting. And that's going to be an instance where I'm going to be doing everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's fair because I desire to be courted. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like we still get to know one another, but it's not going to be dating.
Right.
You know, I just don't. But if, like I said, we're together and you lose your job or things don't work out at the job or you choose another route, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to leave you because of that, because that's not right. Things happen. But we're not going to be, you're not going to be calling me telling me that we can never go nowhere.
I ain't got it.
In the beginning, no. I just can't. What about you, though?
I think, like, money is so important. You know, like, money and stability are important. Stability, awareness, being able to have a cushion, being able to create financial planning, being able to live a life that you desire, that is without struggle. Those things are important.
Agreed.
And seeing so many instances of people surviving with a spouse and having an issue with their finances, mm-hmm. and it's not something that is desirable to me.
No.
And so I do think there's a difference between being a broke high school student
Absolutely.
Or a broke college student yeah. and dating. But when you walk into your adulthood and your finances impact your way you're able to have bandwidth to love an individual
right.
or it impacts your self-esteem or yes. or it impacts your ability
Absolutely.
To achieve your goals, what needs to happen is you need to get your coins in order before you try to step to somebody.
Right. Before.
Exactly. Before.
Exactly.
Because you can end up fucking up somebody's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong, like you said, with being in a relationship with people and they fall on hard times and you
absolutely.
Find a way to support
Help
one
them.
Another because y'all
yes.
are in this together. But we really have to recognize that Black women don't have to live through struggle love in
Thank
order
you.
To experience love.
Thank you.
Like, love is gentle and kind and
it's patient.
It's patient.
That's right. And it's not selfish.
Yes. Yeah, so be patient with your pockets.
Yeah.
Build yourself and get the fuck up out. No, but seriously, like, if it really impacts your ability to show up for somebody. You can show up within your means
yeah.
or you can learn how to show up for yourself.
Or just be upfront.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll say it that way.
I respect
because
people who are upfront
100%. Because I feel like if it's a really good guy, just be upfront and be like, listen, like, I'm really interested in you. I would love to date you, but I don't have a job right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's something about honesty that's so attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be honest with people. Let people know that you're not in the best place for you to show up and do certain things for them. And I feel like that will make, for me personally, that would make me want to still get to know you.
Yeah.
Because I would be like, wow, at least he was transparent. At least he wasn't just running around or beating around the bush and trying to do all this stuff and waste my time. This man straight up told me, I'm not in a place that I want to be right now, but
mm-hmm.
if you would allow me to still do the little things that I could do for you,
mm-hmm.
I think there's something very attractive about that. Being straight up and saying, I can still do something. I just can't do everything I desire.
That's real ass shit. Because normally people hide it. Especially men.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. I support that 100%. Like, if you might be down on your luck a little bit and you're trying to get back on your feet, the steps that you are taking are important. The way that you are creative is important. Because I done seen a broke man turn water into wine. Okay?
Right. Like. Exactly. And y'all know if y'all ever seen them movies where the dude be so broke.
Yes.
In the beginning. Mm-hmm. But then at the end, he be the CEO. And you really counted him out. And now you hear, you know what I'm saying? So, some men, you could tell that it's just a season for them.
Yeah.
It's like, if it's a season, you need to ask yourself two things as a woman. Is it a season or is it a lifestyle? Mm. If that's a lifestyle, we can never work.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
A word?
But if it's a season, I will support you through the season. Because we all have different seasons.
Yes.
There were seasons I was down. You know what I'm saying? There's seasons where I'm winning. It's seasons. But if it's a lifestyle, mm-hmm. if you feel like that's just where you're going to be and you're going to die that way and that's just who you
you
are,
want to die on that hill.
Yeah, you're like, that's who I am. This is just, no. I can't be with nobody if that's your lifestyle. But if you just like, yo, babe, you know, everything just kind of caught up to me. I didn't really, okay, maybe you didn't get a job right out of college. That is hard. Statistically, that is not the way it's supposed to happen.
Right.
So that's not BS. Those mm-hmm. are all facts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, stuff like that. Like, you working to get out of your situation, but you just haven't been delivered yet. Yes. Like, the Lord just didn't deliver you out of that yet. I feel like that's fine. But if you just every day, you ain't working to get out that situation, no.
Yeah, because then it becomes the finances become the center of stress in the relationship.
Yep.
And most marriages, we talk about at the dating level, but if most marriages break up.
Yes, because of finances.
What makes you think I even want to go in?
Oh, no.
It, you know,
if
like,
most marriages break up, then you know the dating thing.
Right.
It's not going to work with that. Like, nah. Mm-mm. You can't.
You can't. What are some priorities people should have in dating? You might roll good, you might roll good.
Okay. Damn, what are some priorities you thinking that people should have in dating?
Yeah.
I think definitely it always comes down to open communication. I would start there. Mm-hmm. And transparency, because I feel like that should be the number one priority, because the thing is, people have a very different view of what it means to be loved and what it means to feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be buying me all the gifts in the world, but if that is not how I receive love, mm-hmm. that's not doing anything for me.
Right.
So your main priority needs to be, how do I love this person? How do I make this person feel like, how do I make it known to this person that I care for them? That I'm actually want to take things to the next level. Like, how do I show you that? Not some universal thing that you're doing for every female. Like, yeah, I'm going to take her out a few times and then we're going to be this and then I'm going to do this. And I think men should start, men and women should start thinking about what is this person showing me that they need to feel loved by me?
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be a priority. And I also think the intentions need to be a priority, too. You need to tell people what you're expecting from them. Because I'm in a phase of my life where I'm trying to date to marry. I'm not trying to waste time. So if I'm dating someone, it's because I see a potential with you to go further. I don't want to date somebody that's like, oh, I'm just trying to get my feet wet. I don't want that. Like, I want it to be very clear that we're heading at least in a solid relationship.
Right.
If not that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want that to be clear. So I think communicating your intentions, and I would say learning how to really love people, is definitely a big priority. Like, and stop trying to treat every woman like we're the same, or every man like it's the same. I think you should just try to make everybody, you should try to really focus on how that person needs to be loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about you? What do you think are some priorities?
I definitely think that's real. I think honesty is a main priority.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because without it, you can't build a foundation.
Yeah.
And if you're being dishonest with yourself because you want to appear a certain way for somebody, people do this all the time. Yes, lie not to show you who they really are.
Yeah.
Are not upfront about what it is that they desire. It leads into a foundation that is for sure going to crumble.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you don't have that in check and you can't be honest with yourself, and you can't be honest with your partner, and you a liar, and you got 3, 4, 5 different phones, or if you're an individual who, damn it, I'm just pulling from stories that I've heard, or you tell yourself that you're not ready for a relationship, but you are ready for a relationship, but just not with that person, or vice versa, or you're always asking somebody. Or this is what really gets me, and I really hate this when I hear this. Oh, you're different. What does it mean to be different? Everybody is different. Mm-hmm. You know?
Just like words that don't really mean anything.
Yeah. It's like, take a moment to figure out who you are.
Right. I agree with that.
And knowing yourself and understanding that we change.
Yeah.
That, like, the person I am today is not the same person that I was. Yeah. 3 years ago.
And with that changing, know that expectations change.
Yes.
Like, when you grow all over. So it's like, you may have, what somebody would have been doing for you in the beginning cannot be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
As you evolve.
Yeah.
And I think people don't talk about that enough, where it's like, expectations change. So like, if I don't have a job when I meet you, and you were doing most of the pulling, but now you'll have a job that pays good, expectations could change. You could be like, we could be married, and you could be, okay, babe, you know, I was doing all the bills with you. Could you at least do the electric, or could you at least do the cable now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things change when circumstances change. Mm-hmm. So, and being open to those changes, because if the relationship ain't growing and changing, what are we really doing?
It's called being stagnant.
Yeah, that stagnant thing is too much. Like, I'm not, nobody wants to stay in the same place forever. And I don't know. I don't really think it's a matter of what's moving too fast and what's moving too slow. I just think more so that it depends on the people. Like, if you're ready to go at a faster pace than somebody else, that's fine. But I just think, like you said, honesty and clear communication, I think, are the main two priorities. Before you even get to finances, like you said, you got to be able to communicate honestly and say, this is who I am. And you basically take it or leave it. So, yeah, I agree with you on that, sis.
Is there anything you want to piggyback off from the Red Book article on millennials and baby boomers?
Trying to see. I think the line between, I like this. The Red Book says the line between single and together has gotten a little blurred. Speak on that, sis. That right there is a fact.
People don't know whether or not they are in a relationship, in a situationship, want to get married, if they even an item at all. Are they individuals, a part of a whole, or
Lord, two speak people through her. Speak through my sis right now, Lord.
It is so frustrating because
yes.
A lot of people are playing this fine line where they want relationship sex.
Facts.
Relationship commitment.
Yes.
Relationship responsibilities.
Okay.
But they not in no damn relationship.
Facts.
And they single as hell, but they want those things, and they also want to be able to have those experiences with other people.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with saying you just want to be an individual who is literally dating in the sense of you are not monogamous with anybody. You are out here playing the field. The Absolutely. Problem is when you lack that transparency.
Facts.
And you're trying, you know that you can have sex with X, Y, and Z. So you're going to do what you got to do to try to get it in.
Exactly. And you never, ever want to leave a good person guessing.
Ooh, yes.
Never. When you leave that person guessing, maybe like, nah. Like, Fallback game is so strong, y'all probably thought I collapsed.
You done went to another planet.
I'm not into that guessing. If I have to guess about you, I'm going to guess the worst thing.
Yeah.
That's my personality. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, well, maybe this. No, I'm going to guess at the far end because you should have never put me in a position where I got to be guessing about you. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and you're very right about that. Like, that whole middle ground, that gray area is so dangerous when it comes to dating.
Yes.
It's so dangerous because they could post something and it's like, oh, but I really can't be mad at that because you're not my man or you're not my girl. So I really can't be mad at that. I really want to go off, but I can't hold you accountable. And I feel like that's just the most frustrating place. It's like to be at a place where you can't hold this person accountable because y'all really not together. Like, you're really not in a committed relationship.
Right.
And I feel like that's why a lot of people like that middle ground, because they feel like they could just get away with everything. You know, because once you're in a relationship, you could say, oh, you said you was going to be here at 5:00. Where was you? Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? But when you're not in a relationship, you can't do all that because then they call you crazy. So.
Even when you set your own boundaries.
Oof. Exactly. So that one, I agree with that red book. That's definitely a topic. Like, just single, the line between single and together has gotten a little blur.
And emotional transparency, too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because if your emotional intelligence is lacking, it'll be very hard to understand what your partner is going through.
Absolutely.
And so if you're at a level where you're not emotionally available, maybe you need to take some time for yourself. But if you're willing to work at it,
exactly,
you know, and become more transparent, you're going to become a better partner. It can only help you.
Absolutely.
I think that we have to be willing to do the work, or we'll find ourselves in spaces where we repeat the same cycles and nobody wants to deal with it.
Exactly. And it's just like you always say, it goes into what you see. Like, when you go up and you see broken relationships and you see people communicating hostile, and it's a lot that goes into it. It's not as easy.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So, again, but I wouldn't know what you grew up in and what you grew up around if you don't say something.
Right.
There's no way. There's no other way that I'm going to know. So, yeah, you're right, sis.
Please speak up, because we don't walk around with billboards on our foreheads.
Right. And it's like, if you don't say anything, then how am I supposed to know? Like, I'm not going to be digging. You feel me?
Right. Like, so, you are not a construction worker.
Yeah, you're right. This is no Bob the Builder. I'm not about to be building. I'm not about to be digging.
I can save him.
Yeah, that's a lot. I'm sorry, but I'm not building up nobody either. I'm done with that. Like, sorry.
A word.
Child. I need to stop.
Stop. Drop. Shut up. Close up. Shop. Like, I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
This is really great. All right, to catch a coin, y'all know what it is. Giving you the tips to keep some coins in your wallet. Mecca, what you got for us this week?
I think to catch a coin, since we're talking about dating, I would say if you do have that person that you desire to hang out with or take them out on a date, and you know, like, you know, all right, I've been doing a lot of spending before I met this person, I kind of want to cut back. I would say, and if you're not comfortable being that transparent, because that does take a level of bravery, right? Mm-hmm. I would say just put money to the side. Like, if you know you want to take this person out, pick the date where you know you could save money little by little to be able to take them somewhere. I don't believe in breaking a bank when you don't have it. Like, I don't believe in doing all this extra stuff and then at the end being like, I'm done with that person because they just running up all my money, you know? Now, I respect it, but I don't, you know what I'm saying? But if you really like this person, I would just say, like, just start putting money to the side. Like, if you say, okay, hey, we're going to go out the end of the month, that gives you all the other months before that date to have your money together.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be frequent dating either. It could be when you have it, that's how you plan it. You know what I'm saying? Like, But yeah, I would just say, just let's normalize putting money to the side for stuff and not just spending everything right away. Just put money to the side and spend it when you can. That would be my tip. What about you?
Girl, to piggyback off that, you said a word. ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, I understand, like, as women, we love to be surprised by things. But sometimes, ask first, mm-hmm. you know? Like, ask, oh, what do you think about this? Have you ever thought about this trip? Yeah. Or have you ever thought about this item before? That's, I think this would look really nice on you before you go out to purchase an item or do an event. That way, your coins are not being wasted.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Especially if the person don't like it, you know? Like,
yeah, that's true.
Like we said before, communication is key. And don't nobody like wasting pennies. I mean, some people throw pennies away. I used to be like that too, but, you know.
Nah, that's true though. Ask questions or listen to things. Like, say, oh yeah, I like that, I want that kind of thing. Just listen, I would say. Try to listen to see what he likes so you don't waste that money. Yeah. Surprise him with it later. Ooh.
Mecca has been real. I think this is one of the best podcast episodes that we've done.
Girl, I know, this felt so natural. I know I was so shook the first one. I feel so much more natural.
It's just
thank
like,
you for having me, though.
Always. I love you. You're my sis.
Love you, okay.
The vibe just be right. The communication is natural. And I don't feel like we got to rush about nothing or not be ourselves, you know? Like.
Exactly.
That's really dope. And I hope that people take away something to learn from this, because we are at the end of our 20s.
Girl, we in the middle.
We in the middle.
Oh, nah. We got about 4 years until we at the real end.
Okay, fair enough.
We are in the middle. We're 25.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, she said the end. I looked at her like...
But technically, if you 5 years away...
Right, but the mid is 25.
Like, you're right. Okay.
The 20s enough. Is like 20 to 24. Now we at 25 to 30.
Right, so we in the middle. Next year we won't be in the middle. We'll be turned to
end. Yeah, we'll be 26. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
yeah, you got that.
So I think it'll be great to hear other young Black women like ourselves who have like have similar experiences and, you know, yeah, for them to share their narratives. But I think this was really great. And as always, I thank you for being a support to Broke Black Bougie, being a sister, being someone I could talk to, Lord. And I look forward to having you on another episode.
I look forward to being here. Thank you for having me, rocking with you, girl.
No problem.